of this message is waiting, hoping, and watching. Waiting, hoping, and watching. I don't know about you, but those are the most difficult words for me, is especially waiting. I was called up for jury duty a few weeks ago, and of course they send you a little pamphlet. I had to be there by 8 o'clock, but they said be there half an hour early because of COVID. So be there at 7:30. So I get there at 7:30 and got checked in, waited till 10 o'clock with 75 other people. And then finally they called us into the courtroom about 10:30. And we waited in there for another half an hour. The judge came out with everybody and he says, well, we have to do some business, so we're going to have to all wait out in the hall for a while. So they sent 75 of us out in the hall. And we waited for, I don't know, almost noon. And then finally, they called us back in, and I thought, oh, they're going to break for lunch, and then we have to come back. And so anyway, they called my name first, and they knew you had to fill out this form, and they knew what I was employed in, and so they cut me loose, so I was grateful for that. But waiting, watching is very difficult, hoping and watching. If you'd open your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 130, verse 5. That's Psalm 130, verse 5. Let you get there. It's a real short psalm, but Psalm 130, verse 5, it says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Now, how many people like waiting? We don't like waiting. Especially in this society. Today, if we truly are seeking the Lord, I believe we've been in a valley waiting just like David was in this song. We're waiting. And there are obstacles in that valley. Now, where there is life, we're pretty sure there's going to be some pitfalls. Right? We know we have many variations in our experience, and sometimes we'll be in those depths of the valley, just as others have been throughout scriptures and what we've seen in this place, in the years that you've been here. So, but we know that we have to wait, and how difficult it is to wait, isn't it? But we're to be waiters. It's a new word for you, waiters. Isaiah gives us some instruction on waiting in Isaiah 40, 31. It's a pretty familiar scripture to everyone. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now, to wait on the Lord takes more than physical strength. When we wait in the natural, we can hear every sound that goes on. Our hearts are beating. The tick, tick, tick of the clock. It seems that time goes so slow in the natural. All strength apart from God will fail. Let every man know, therefore, that whatever his strength may be of the body, of the mind, of the spirit, if it be his own, it will fail one day. But divine strength never fails. And it comes to those who wait upon God. But when we see our strength linked to God and wait upon God for everything and casting everything upon him, then we will find our strength. We wait. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. The question is, how will we renew our strength personally? How is it? It is by waiting upon the Lord. Now, waiting signifies dependence. As believers, We are trusters in God and we're waiters upon God. Have you ever experienced a time waiting upon God and he's there so thick and so wonderful that it seems as if there's no more time? Have you had that experience? That's the strength that you're getting, spiritual strength. It's not that natural waiting that you get impatient with, but it's that waiting upon God. Then you're one of those individuals that are waiting upon the Lord, and you shall renew your strength. Then other times it becomes so difficult as the trials weigh on your minds. It is as the heavens are as brass, and you wonder, Lord, do you really hear me? You hear my cry? Have you been there? Maybe all you can say or you can cry out is, oh God, help me. It's not a bad place to be. It seems as if waiting is so difficult and time is just creeping as every part of your body wants relief from the trial. This is the time when we must depend upon God alone. What is it that we wait upon the Lord for? What is it? We wait upon him for his word. We also wait upon the Lord for his grace. That grace in that time of need. There are some who would ask, why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Why? Have you ever heard somebody say that? I'm tired of waiting on the Lord. Maybe they take things into their own hands. But we must wait in the natural for a seed to grow and for fruit to ripen. That is for spiritual fruit in our lives that we want. We want it to ripen in us. Get that, in us. Especially in these days, we must remain in prayer and undaunted in confidence, unmoved in expectations. God's way is not failure. We depend upon his Holy Spirit and we believe good will come out of everything that comes our way, and therefore I shall wait. Sometimes that's difficult to say in a trial. I shall be found moving when God moves, or sitting still when the Lord tarries. I'm sure he will not fail, and the soul that waits upon him is ready for him to come. Why do we wait? Because the blessings are coming. I feel like Paul Revere. That's faith. Does God wait? God waits to be gracious unto us, doesn't he? What is it the Lord's waiting people need? We're his waiting people. What do we need? We need to renew our strength. It's difficult, this race course that we're on. It's not easy. It's not for the faint-hearted, is it? But at times we are in that valley. It is because we're human and we're in a world that's changing constantly. We may mount up into the heavens with burning zeal one day and then go very low in the depths of the trials other times. The best of the bravest of saints are poor creatures at best. Remember the story of Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel? He had brought fire down from heaven, and he cries, take the prophets of Baal and don't let any one of them escape. He pleads with God and he unlocks the treasury of the rain. He girds up his loins and he runs before the chariot of Ahab. Elijah, there's a man for you. A real man. But get this, within 24 hours, he was afraid of Jezebel. 24 hours. And he was soon depressed. He said, oh Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Now we can't criticize him. Elijah falls upon the earth in absolute exhaustion. After high excitement, always, it seems that there comes a time of reaction. We can't always be on the mountaintop. We feel faint at times. So the necessity of the blessed promise then comes to us. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We will rise again from our deepest depressions, and we will leap above them. We shall dwell in the heights, and we shall soar above the clouds. David said, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. To wait on the Lord means to go to Him for all our strength, to be entirely dependent upon the spiritual power which comes from the Holy Ghost, and not all upon the power which dwells within ourselves. Again, here we are waiting, hoping, and watching. The next word which helps the first one is hoping. And in His word do I hope. And then the third word grows out of the first, and that is watching. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. Now this word hope is our glorious hope, in which in some senses both Jews and Gentiles are united in that word. For the Jews are waiting for the coming of the Messiah, so are we, only they in their unbelief do not see that He's already come once. We believe in His first advent, and we're patiently waiting and longing and looking for the time when the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. Isn't that glorious hope? We are still waiting for its blessed realization. Those in heaven, they're waiting too. They're waiting until the Lord shall come again, and we are actually in this fellowship together with them. In the day of His appearing, those in disembodied spirits shall put on their resurrection bodies and be changed and made like unto Christ's glorious body. They shall be united with all the saints who remain upon the earth. For without us, though, those in heaven cannot be made perfect. Therefore, we must wait. The whole church of Christ is waiting. The whole 12 tribes of spiritual Israel, they're waiting for the adoption to with the redemption of the body at the return of the Lord. Wherefore, we must be content to be waiters. For many of God's saints have been and are still waiting. Even the Lord Himself is waiting for us. You know that? Note that each one of us has to wait individually. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, who was also waiting. He was a most marvelous runner to run the Christian race. He had been running for many years, and he said that he had not yet attained. He even forgot those things which were behind and pressed forward toward that which was before, that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there's an infinity of grace and mercy ahead for you and me. That's a hope. Whatever of the blessings we have received, we've only just sipped from the ever-flowing stream of eternal love. You've but only gathered a few shells washed up on the shore of the ocean of boundless grace. You've not received all yet, and you can't enjoy all yet. You must wait. And wait, and wait, for still there's more to follow. Even wait to have your hearts enlarged. We are waiting for the Lord to take us home, aren't we? Is this not our hope? David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness, and we shall be satisfied when we see Christ, satisfied when we shall see the Lord that died for us. We'll be satisfied when we shall reign with him. We'll be satisfied to reign with him, and satisfied when we shall hear that eternal hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Yet I imagine that even then, we will be receiving throughout eternity fresh revelation of unutterable, untellable love of God. That's in Christ Jesus. Do you know what waiting does? What does waiting do? It tries your faith. Waiting exercises patience. For patience is one of those choice gifts of God. We do not know who will be blessed by our pains, by our bereavements, by our crosses. But if we are to comfort God's afflicted people, we must be fitted and afflicted ourselves. It is the experience and the patience in tribulation which will make our wheat fit to be bread for the saints. So be patient, be patient, be patient, and wait. The dark cloud shall drop a sparkling shower upon us soon. Waiting applauds every blessing when it comes. Do you know we get two joys from waiting? The joy of waiting for the joy, as well as the joy of enjoying the joy when it comes. Oh, the joy will be to rest after this long toil is over. The delight of heavenly wealth after this earthly valley is over. Hope is for the prize of the high calling of Christ himself. You know, Jesus endured the deepest valley ever, don't you? Death and sin. He stepped down those seven steps and he was equal with God. He stepped down to my level or even lower. But you know what? He brought us back up with him to the highest calling with him. This is my hope. Hope is a reason for waiting, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Then next, hope is the strength of waiting. You do not wait for a thing about which you are absolutely hopeless for. If you have no hope of obtaining it, you say, then I'll go my way. It's useless to wait any longer. But inasmuch as you have some degree of hope in waiting for God, your spirit is sustained so that you can still continue to wait for him. And God ain't going to let you go. Paul wrote that the Lord would not put upon us more than we can bear. He will give us the grace to wait upon him. Waiting is always sweet when there is a hope at the end of it. The road may be very long, but you pursue the way with willing footsteps because you hope to reach the goal at the end. Our hope fixes itself on Christ alone. For you, if you have not that hope, you will not wait for it. If you do not wait, you will not receive it. It is the waiting soul that gets the blessing. And it is good for me to draw near to God, said David. For he also said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. What is that hope that is laid up for us in heaven? What is that hope? Our hope has passed beyond the sphere of sight. According to the word of God through the Apostle Paul, What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? I said, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Ours is a hope which demands nothing of time or earth, but seeks its all in the heavens above, where Christ is seated. You know what is so marvelous? It is that our hope should be associated with heaven. That's all our hope is. We expect to taste the joys laid up in heaven. Our hope is full of glory. Get that glory. For it has to do with the glory of Christ, whom we hope to behold. Not only to see him, but to be like Jesus Christ when I see him as he is. What a divine hope this is. I am aspiring to sit upon the throne with Christ according to the promise that he's given us. Do you remember that scripture? It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Hope reckons to be among the full overcomers and to partake in their enthronement. This is a marvelous hope that we can all have. We can all have this. Yet it is not presumption, but confidence warranted by the Word of God. Is it not a miracle of love that such poor creatures as ourselves should be enabled to hope in God? The hope laid up in heaven is not a hope except to those who hope for it. The hope is wrought in the heart by the Holy Ghost. It is a thing hoped for, even as faith is a thing believed, because it realizes and it secures it. What a marvelous hope this is, which long before its realization is treated as a matter of actual attainment, and it's spoken of as a treasure reserved in heaven. No one could ever have invented this type of hope. It is so glorious it baffles the imagination. I wonder how this hope could be in store for us who are so unworthy and undeserving. But he has assured us of this hope by the Word of God. The Word of God has opened the windows in heaven and bids us to look in and hope for the time when we shall drink of its living fountains and go no more out forever. This is marvelous. And it's even more marvelous to think that this hope came to us simply by hearing the Word of God. That's it. Simple. Whereof you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hope comes by faith. And so the divine hope of being in heaven came to us just by hearing the word of God and believing it. It was not by working, not by deserving, and not by penance or sacrifice, but simply by hearing diligently upon the divine word of God. So what is the hope which is laid up for us in heaven? It is the hope of victory. For we shall overcome every foe, and Satan shall be trodden under our feet. We shall overcome through the blood of the Lamb. This is included in our hope. Victory over evil and perfection and all that is good. If this were all our hope, it would be marvelous, wouldn't it? But there's more to be unfolded. Eye hath not seen it, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that he has prepared for us. Here we see through a glass darkly. We know in part, but there we shall see face to face. We will see him face to face and know even as we are known. There's more, for we have the hope of everlasting fellowship with Christ Jesus, my Lord. I would give 10,000 worlds if I had them, to have one glimpse of that dear face which was so marred with sorrow for my sake. But to sit at the Lord's feet and to look up into his face and hear his voice and never, never grieve him, but to participate in all his triumphs and glories forever and ever. That's my hope. What a heaven this will be. It is something to have our hope laid up in heaven, but it's much better to have it laid up for yourself. Laid up for you. That is for you whose faith is in Christ Jesus and who have love to all the saints. There's a crown in heaven which will never be worn by any head but yours. There's a harp in glory that'll never be touched by any fingers but yours. Make no mistake about it, it's laid up in heaven for you, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. For you. Oh, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. Lay the stress there and get honey out of it. It is laid up for you. It is laid up for you in heaven where neither moth nor rust will ever corrupt it. Then he that waits and he that hopes learns to watch. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. In our opening scripture, what does David mean by this saying that he said? Some know what it is to watch for the morning. Maybe in deep trials you cannot sleep. You go to the window and you see whether the sun has risen many times. That wearied clock ticks and ticks 1,000 times. It seems to go right through your brain and into your heart. We've been watching longer than they who guard the temple or the city towers of old. That's what David meant when he said that. That is what David was saying here. The night guard only has a few hours to watch in the night. But some of us have been waiting some 30 years, some 50 years. Some even maybe 60 years for the coming of the Lord. I do not wonder that you have a stronger desire for the morning than they who've only watched for one night. You and I are waiting for a daylight, and the Lord will bring us to endless rest and perfect joy in that day. May we watch more than they that watch for the morning, for theirs is but the morning of a day, but ours is the morning of eternity, which shall know no end. They do but watch for the sun with its passing beams, but we watch for the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, whose glory makes heaven itself. Let us grow eager when we think of what is yet to be revealed in us and to us. Revelation 3:11. I've said all of that to say this. You want to listen to this next part. Revelation 3:11. We've heard this scripture over and over here. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We've heard this scripture over and over again. But I ask you, what is the crown? We have a crown, but what is it? You got to know what your crown is. Let's look at some aspects of the crown. Turn over to John 17. John 17. This is Jesus' prayer for us. John 17, we're going to start in verse 5. Jesus is praying, and he says, Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Do you think Jesus has glory? Of course he does. Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. But then drop down to verse 10 of John 17. He says, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. He's talking about us. I am glorified in them. He is glorified in us, correct? Then drop down to John 17, 17. He says, sanctify them through the truth, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how are we sanctified? Simply by hearing the word of God. Why? Why? Drop down to verse 22, John 17. And the glory, here's the glory again, which thou gavest me, I have given them. Who's the them? We are. That they may be one even as we are one. So he has given us glory, that we may be one with the Father and the Son. Where is this glory? In us. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:7. Don't turn there. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not in us. What is this treasure in earthen vessels? It's glory. What is the glory? It's Christ Jesus. Revelation 19, you don't have to turn there. John fell down and worshiped the brethren. What happened? I, John, fell at his feet to worship him, a brother. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. What did John see that made him fall down and worship a brother? He saw the glory that was in this brother. He saw Christ. Doesn't it say in John, in 1 John 3:2, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall be like him. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And doesn't Paul tell us about the glory in 1 Corinthians 15:41, where it says there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one differ from another star in glory? What's he talking about? So what is the crown made up of? I believe it's glory. That is the crown. It will be to be like Jesus, just like he prayed for us in John 17, 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now some have turned down this glory. Did you know that? This is where people can have their crown taken away. Let no man take your crown. I want the glory. It is that they will not have that sun glory. Do you want that sun glory? Those waving palms will have glory. Those babies that have just gotten saved will have some glory. But it'll not be like the bride. Paul said further in Romans 8, 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You're going to shine. Get that with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Then Paul said further in Romans 5, 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we shall stand and rejoice in hope of what? The glory of God. My hope is that I will be filled with glory. There's still more. In hope of the glory of God. So it is by faith to have this hope of the glory of God. By faith. By hearing the word of God. I'll break it down even more. It is just by hearing the word of God that we will have this hope of the glory of God. And this faith comes by hearing. This glory comes by hearing the word of God. Now, what is our inheritance? Jesus Christ. So what's Jesus' inheritance? Paul said it this way. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Where's that going to be found? In his bride. Get that? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Jesus' inheritance is the glory that will be in us to give unto him. Who is it that is working this glory in us and giving us this crown of glory? Paul said it this way in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work of glory in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say of glory. I added that. But I believe that's what it is. I want to see his glory. I want to have his glory. That is the crown for me. That's the crown I want. You remember Moses? Behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance. He had to cover his face. We will never need to cover our face. Let Christ shine through us in all his glory. Doesn't Paul also say in 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory? Aren't we being changed? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord, that's my crown. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Then, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. But it's actually as the beloved, as Jesus. We could go all night. In fact, Jesse's not here. Let's go to midnight. When you go back, start reading those scriptures about glory and see if it doesn't speak to your heart. There's more. There's so many more scriptures I could have brought out, but we're running out of time. May our hunger increase as we think of the sweetnesses that are reserved for us. We wait for Jesus our Lord, watching more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. This is the right posture for us. Waiting, hoping, and watching till he appears, who is our husband, our beloved bridegroom, our Savior, our friend, our all in all. All this just by simply hearing the word of God and applying ourselves to the word. This is so marvelous, and it is even more marvelous to think that this waiting and hoping and watching came simply to us by hearing his word and believing. Where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? Faith is the one that comes by hearing, and hope comes by that faith. And so the divine hope of being in heaven came to us just by hearing his word. It is not by working, not by deserving, not by penance, not by sacrifice, but simply by hearing diligently unto the divine word of God. God is continuing to bless us, dear friends. And may he keep us waiting and hoping and watching for his soon appearing. That's all I have. I hope it's been a blessing.